It all depends on the psychology of the situation, what's actually happening, and what the baby might be experiencing, how the baby might be experiencing this. But suffice to say, C-section is done in the United States at least one out of every three babies. It's not normal for
That's
this many
huge.
babies to be born by C-section. It's ridiculous. One out of every three people walking around this earth right now did not have an unnatural birth, a vaginal birth. Forget about natural. A natural
Janice,
birth means you don't have medical interference,
yeah, I wonder, like you say, one in three in America, and then you said one in three in the world. I was wondering if you think the, say, the American system is more like what you're saying is more relevant to the, say, the American sort of hospital system or sort of birthing process, because not, I can't imagine everywhere is like that, you know. So have they been, you know, really sort of taken down by the establishment more than maybe other countries, like my daughter was born in Brazil, where it still seems like there's a little bit at least of sort of, you know, the baby's really, really, really important, and let's give it every opportunity we can. So is it
I
American
think
issue more than other places, or is it sort of more global than we realize?
I'm going to say something very controversial right now. Okay. I think it's primarily in white countries
Wow.
that the babies are under attack. And I think that's because the people, the creatures that control the medical establishment despise the white race and they want us gone. Basically, they want us off the earth. That's why there's the promotion of miscegenation, why they are paying to have brown and black skinned people flooding primarily white Christian countries. There is a hatred of whites that has been going on for thousands of years from the cult. I won't name them because that would be really bad. Hopefully people can surmise who I'm talking about that hates Christians, they hate Christ, and they hate whites. They view whites as their biggest threat. And they view blacks and brown-skinned people much less of a threat. And that's why they want us interbreeding with them. They want whites interbreeding with brown and black-skinned people so that we will be less of a threat to them. And also so that we'll disappear. Because obviously, if whites interbreed, we won't be anymore. There'll be no more whites if we're all brown, which is their goal. It's called the Kalergi Plan. Kalergi. So look that up, and that's what I think is going on. It's primarily in white countries. I think the United States is probably the worst, although I know there was tremendous hell going on in Russia when this same cult, the cult of Bolshevism, was in charge. There was hell going on in Russian hospitals, and anyway.
Yo,
I don't
that's
have the answer to
yeah,
hope.
that's
I don't have the
definitely
answer to the
something
hope
I'm gonna
going
have to
on in.
be have to be looking up after this conversation. That's for sure. I
People
think that's a whole
need to
nother
pay attention.
rabbit hole.
People need to pay attention to the white genocide agenda because it is huge and in our face, especially if you are paying attention through television. You will see white men always portrayed as moronic, pathetic. Black men are now being portrayed as, the go-to kind of guys. And there's a huge amount of interracial imaging that young people are being shown right now to normalize interracial breeding. So just to be clear, okay, I think interracial breeding is a problem for all races because we are, if we do this, diminishing the potency of the genetics of our race. Each race has specific gifts that they bring to the earth. And when we mix genetics like that, it's not natural. So all races need to know this, need to understand. If you want the potency of your race, then please breed with members of your race so that you'll give your children the best chance. I've been in communication with young people who are interracial people, and they're suffering because they don't know which race to identify with. They don't know where they belong, who they are, what their true ancestry is. It's confusing, and that's deliberate.
That's
it's
interesting.
Deliberate to try to better.
It's something I've never really thought about a hell of a lot, and I was just wondering, like, you've mentioned how important love is, right? Like,
yes.
Love is the sort of overarching, most powerful energy there is that will sort of, you know, just take out anything pretty much, which is what we need more of. So what do you say when you have, like, you know, an interracial couple who are deeply in love with each other? What do you sort of suggest to people like that?
Love trumps everything. You've got to go with love, you know? There's no question about that. I have my doubts about whether the relationship will persist in the long run. We have a lot of false unions on the earth. That's why there's so much divorce, and also because there's so much birth trauma. What really creates love, like enduring human love, is the creation of a space of love. If you read the Ringing Cedars books, send me an email, I'll send you a link. Read these books. Okay. The creation of a space of love in which we're going to gestate, we're going to conceive, gestate, and birth our children. And that birth, there's something that can happen at the birth that can keep that couple together forever. I mean, the love is so big, it's not likely you will have experienced it prior to the birth of a child. You know, what we think is love is, it's this much, really, of what the Creator has designed for us to experience. And we can really read the Ringing Cedars books, Ringing Like a Bell and Cedars Like the Trees, ringingcedars.com/AU. That's the only place you can get the real books right now. There's 9 of them, and I think it's about $250 American dollars for all 9 books, including shipping to the U.S. But those are the most important books I've ever read. And they will explain the keys to the preservation of love in families. It's written in those books, and it's part of what I teach in my parenting program. The curriculum I've designed is designed to bring people the preconception through birth and parenting to understand the keys to preserving love. And if there is real authentic love between interracial people, then that's love. We have to go with that. But I'm wondering if these people are really the ones that are for each other. I have to wonder about that. Or if this love is based on something from our past, a recreation of things in the past, or part mind control programming, or what. We really have to look inside and ask ourselves these questions about what is attracting us to this particular person.
So,
what is driving the attraction?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you probably, if you've mentioned things like that before, got a lot of pushback, especially like in this day and age. You know, they're like, geez, this lady's crossing the line. You know what I mean?
I don't care, because I'm going to tell the truth as I see it, no matter what. Because we need to think about these things. Are we attracted to people based on lust because they look good, they're physically attractive, or we're having good sex? Do you know the difference physiologically, how it feels when you lust after somebody or you love somebody? Because there's a huge physiological difference. Most
What
people
is
have
the
never
difference for
experienced
people?
love. Well, I'll tell you what the difference is. If it's lust, you're going to feel like racing in your body. Like you can't sleep at night. All you're thinking about is this person and you want to get with this person and you'll feel a racing energy. That's the best way to describe it. If it's love, it's totally, there will be this huge, immense opening in your body, a feeling of extreme safety, well-being, like, oh my God, I've never experienced anything like this before. Just looking in their eyes, it has zero to do with sex. Nothing. Nothing. In fact, that's a whole nother 2 hour interview if we go into the sex stuff. Okay?
Yeah, for sure. Have you, do you think you've ever felt true love yourself?
When I married my second husband, well, before I married him, I experienced it with him 3 times, the whole time we were together. Only 3 times did I feel it. And all 3 times it was a result of eye contact. It had nothing to do with sex. Like we would just be sitting there and looking at each other and be like, oh my God, I can't believe how much I love you. Like this, it's an enormous sensation. It's a physiological feeling that you would feel at birth. Okay, if the birth was done in the right way, you would feel it with your baby. You would feel it with your beloved. All of this flooding of neurochemicals of love. But I've never felt it before, and I was married once before, and I loved my husband. I still, he's a good man, you know, but I never experienced that with him, or with my parents, or with anybody since my second husband. I've never felt that again. Doesn't mean I never will. And I have to say, I think I'm blessed to have felt it because it gave me a biological memory of what love is, what it feels like. Like I now have it in my cells and can identify it. And anything else that comes into my field, I can quickly say, that's not it. That's not it. And believe me, I've had a lot of the previous experience where I'm charged up by somebody and I'm really attracted to them and I can't sleep at night because I'm thinking about them. Okay. And I can quickly identify that as not based in love. It's not the feeling of love. It's completely different.
It's so interesting that you say it was a result of eye contact. There's a
Yes.
really fascinating, I think, neuroscientist. His name is Andrew Huberman. He has a fantastic podcast, and I've listened to him speak a lot. And he says that your eyes are an extension of your brain. So when you talk about, you know, these neurological sort of connections and experiences, makes a lot of sense that eye contact was why you experienced that gushing feeling of love.
Yes, you're right. I mean, the eyes are very, very critical in terms of the attachment to the whole neurological system. This is why they do pornography because they'll trigger the activation of your base, right? And the images that you're seeing will travel up, right? It'll travel through the whole neurology and lock your neurology into this type of sex. Pornographic sex or dissociated sex. So they do know how to play with this. Neurologists are really, be careful with these people who understand how you can manipulate humans through the genitals, because the genitals, that sensation travels right up. You look through your eyes and that travels right down also. So it's very interconnected. But the eyes are also the gateway to the soul. Okay, it's not, your neurology is obviously very important because it is swimming in cerebral spinal fluid. The cerebral spinal fluid fills every crevice of every ventricle, you know, of your brain and nervous system is filled with cerebral spinal fluid that is crystalline in nature and that is communicating through frequency from our source. And so the eyes are a gateway for soul communication. And the eyes are a way that we can see someone that is love. There's a doorway.
Is there a reason why some people, when you kind of like, when you're either speaking to them or say they might be like speaking to you, that there's the eye contact is almost non-existent? You know, they kind of seem like they're looking to the left, or they look down, or just look in other places. Is that some disassociation that you speak about, or is there some reason for that?
Whether or not a person can make eye contact is an indication of how much trauma they have had. And if they've had a lot, they will not feel safe making eye contact because they don't trust. They can't trust. They've been harmed in the past. And so there are ways, cranial sacral therapy, for example, can help you with that, with the lack of ability to make eye contact. The energy work is so important for the resolution, because if you can't make eye contact, you've been hurt. You haven't been able to trust, and you don't feel safe enough to let people see into you.
That makes a lot of sense, definitely.
Well, yeah. And you know these people need support right away if they can't make eye contact, especially babies. If babies can't make eye contact, if you have a baby that's pulling away from you when you're trying to hold them, if you have a baby who's got clenched fists or clenched toes, I mean, this baby is in crisis. This baby has trauma. It does not feel safe even with its parents. The baby needs help. And babies can heal very quickly if the parents are willing to address the birth trauma. But of course, they need support to do that because they don't have the skills or the understanding of it. That's
can
why
we
this
talk
conversation
a little bit,
is.
Can we talk a little bit more about, you know, the sort of overcoming the birth trauma? Obviously, you've touched on, you know, the Jin Shin Jitsu and, a couple other things. But is there something else that we should know about to really help combat this?
Yes, but also we should talk about cord clamping before we do that, before we talk about the healing process and circumcision. But I can't go into the circumcision topic too deeply, and it's not happening everywhere. Pretty much in the United States and Israel are the two places where these babies are being genitally tortured, having their genitals mutilated, you know, without any anesthetic whatsoever. For no medical reason whatsoever. It's just a form of trauma-based mind control. But the clamping of the umbilical cord is also, they're clamping the cord because they want the blood. They want the baby's blood. They sell the baby's blood. And they sell the baby's placenta to the highest bidder, basically. And we know that we have vampire cults that drink baby's blood and eat baby organs. Okay, they're vampire cannibal cults, literally. And we know high up people, for example, the head of PayPal, Peter Thiel. He's very outspoken about the use of young blood to keep himself youthful. They actually bathe in baby's blood. They have it injected into their bodies. They drink it. Okay, so the baby's blood is being stolen for numerous dark reasons. There's no zero benefit to clamping and cutting that umbilical cord. When the baby is born, the baby will come out. It'll still be attached to the umbilical cord that's attached to the placenta in the mother's body. And you will see blood coming through the umbilical cord. That blood contains vital nutrients, stem cells, oxygen. That's the baby's oxygen supply. The baby's not breathing in the womb. It doesn't need to breathe when it comes out of the womb for a few minutes either. It's getting all the oxygen from the blood. Okay, and all of that blood needs to go into your baby in order for your baby to have proper development and not to be traumatized. So when you clamp the umbilical cord and cut the baby off from its blood supply, you are cutting the baby off from its oxygen supply, from vital nutrients that the baby needs, including stem cells, and from its placenta. Now, in indigenous cultures, they understand the placenta to be like a spiritual guardian of the baby. The placenta is there, for example, it will siphon off toxins as best it can to prevent toxins from going to the baby. The placenta will actually break down its own body if your baby's not being nourished.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Okay. And when they do a lotus birth, which I don't know if we'll have time to talk about, people notice when you have the baby and the umbilical cord and the placenta still attached outside the womb, when the baby nurses, the placenta will pulse. It's alive, it's a living being, and it is responding to the baby being nourished by the mother. It's a living thing. And in a gentle birth, they leave it attached for days until it falls off naturally. And then the father has very strict protocols that he must follow in order to make sure his baby's placenta and umbilical cord do not end up in the wrong hands. Because he understands if they do, the dark forces can have an influence, a negative influence on his child.
Wow.
So we've lost that wisdom in our world, the importance of not letting anybody get their hands on your baby's placenta or afterbirth, the umbilical cord. And we have a situation right now where mothers are being encouraged to consume it, to actually eat it. In other words, the normalization of cannibalism, because a normal human woman would not see this bloody organ and think, I just want to dig my teeth into that and eat that. Okay, that's not something that humans do.
We would normally bury the placenta. So what do you recommend people bury? Okay, cool. That was my question. Sorry.
You would normally bury the placenta. And if you read the Ringing Cedars books, you know, plant a family tree there. A tree that as this tree grows where your baby's placenta was born, your child can go to that tree in your space of love and regenerate itself through the connection to the placenta and the tree that its parents have created for that child. There's really sacred ways to approach this, which is why I have a parenting program that will give our children such a powerful boost in this world. What we don't, you know, the placenta does have medicinal properties. So, for example, if you're hemorrhaging, I wish I would have known this myself, and you suck on a piece of the placenta, it can stop the hemorrhage. So also, if you are experiencing postpartum depression or postpartum post-traumatic stress, as I did, if you consume the placenta, it can help with that. All right, but it's important to be aware that you are consuming your baby's life force. And your baby probably would be more than happy to help you. But you want to acknowledge this to the baby. I'm in trouble here. I've made a mistake somewhere along the line that's caused me to have postpartum depression or post-traumatic stress. And I need help. Is it okay with you if I encapsulate your placenta or a part of it and bury the rest? Just communicate this to your baby. Don't just vampire your baby's energy. And we have to understand what it is that we're eating, that we're consuming, and have a good reason to do it.
Wow, that's
And
interesting
post.
because, yeah, I mean, sorry to interrupt you. I mean, my wife and I actually have my daughter's placenta in the deep freeze, and we did get some of it encapsulated too. And we actually have we've I think we've had like one of those capsules ourselves. Not many. There's still most of them are in there. But so what you're saying is like you must okay, cool, like. Almost kind of like worship this and explain why you're going to have it, the capsule, and then bury the placenta like when you make, you know, you plant a tree or something like that. It's good things to know because, like you said, they don't tell you these things, that's for sure. Like what you've said.
Understand that there's a reverence behind this. You know, that we need to see the sacredness of this process itself, including what we call the afterbirth, and to be very careful not to let other people get their hands on it. So it's great that you have it. Read the Ringing Cedars books, please, and then decide what you want to do with it, okay? Because you can really support your baby by creating a space of love, and and certainly future children could benefit from you reading these books. They're completely like consciousness altering in a good way, in a really good way.
I actually went to
Very,
go
very
check
powerful.
I went to go check those books out because I saw you talking about them with Luke, and I've emailed them because I went to Amazon, and I think on Amazon the set costs $1,000 or something crazy like that, and they're almost all not printed anymore or something like that. So it's obviously like a it's either out of print or extremely popular. But I have emailed them to find out, you know, if they can deliver and that sort of stuff. So I'm still waiting to hear back from them though.
I'm going to try to be as brief as possible about this. There are three editions of the books. You want edition one or edition two. You do not want edition three, which is translated by Marion Schwartz. Don't get it. It's a corruption, deliberately so. Don't get that edition. You can get the original books, edition one or two, okay, at ringingcedars.com/AU. There's not very many sets left. They're going out of print, which is why you should get a whole set now for about $250 for all nine books. That's with shipping to the US. I don't know what it would be to Brazil. Okay, you just, when you ch go to the checkout, there's a little arrow that says select. And you could select the green covers or the black covers. The green covers are edition one. So in my mind, they are the most pure. And the information on the covers of the books, for example, in book five, okay, you'll see in this corner the technocratic world, the totally toxic technocratic world. And then you'll see us coming out of it into the restoration of spaces of love. We can once again give birth to pure children and to be in connection with every living thing in our space of love, all the animals, insects, birds, everything. Okay, so there's information in the art of edition one. Edition two just has black covers with a flower on it. So you'd be missing that information. And some people have suggested that the black covers kind of put a hex on the books. So if you can get the first edition, this edition, get the green covers, but beware because edition three also has green covers. It's like they mimic the real thing, but the artwork is different, and there's a different message in the artwork, very different in edition three. Don't get the edition translated by Marion Schwartz. Do not get that edition. Has to be edition one or two. Both editions have the same information inside, but edition one has additional information on the covers. These books are the most important books, probably on the earth. in terms of our awakening and the restoration of the earth through our love and the keys to the preservation of love in families.
That's good information.
What's more important?
I checked out the website. Actually, I think the .com dot what you said, was it AU or something? Actually, it's
slash
not
AU.
It doesn't actually work anymore. So it's just .com, and then you can search from there. And I think the price is $385 or something like that. So
ringingcedars.com. .com.au, not slash AU.
Okay.
Ringingcedars.com.au. That's the correct. And it's going to come up with a price in Australian dollars, like $400 or something like that. But it comes to about 250 American dollars.
Sweet. Okay, cool. Got you. Do you think we've covered, say, like the preventing birth trauma? Is there anything else worth mentioning there?
Let me say, in terms of healing birth trauma, I recommend only four different modalities. The rest of them I say beware of, because if you go for something like rebirthing, for example, you're going to be having memories flood your system. Like it's basically you hyperventilate through the breath, and all these memories can come flooding back from your birth, which can be re-traumatizing if you don't have a way to calm your nervous system when this happens. So be careful with these very cathartic modalities, things that where you're going to be feeling everything all over again. I don't think that's useful for people that have had a lot of trauma. It can actually compound the trauma. So what I recommend is Jin Shin Jitsu, which you can learn from me. If you go to my website at Birth of a New Earth and sign up for a session, a private session or a series of sessions, I will be teaching you Jin Shin Jitsu so that you can heal yourself and your children. You will have what you need. Okay. Or cranial sacral therapy. You have to, you know, be in touch with a therapist that is familiar with birth trauma. Okay, but that's a very powerful modality. Watsu therapy, which takes place in a pool, which is very good for prenatal trauma in particular. It's very nurturing and deeply healing. Or emotional freedom technique, which works for some people. It involves tapping on the points. I myself didn't find EFT all that useful. I must have tried at least a dozen different modalities over the many years. But when I found Jin Shin, things started changing very quickly. Just by putting my fingers on these points in certain combinations, like my outer reality was beginning to shift very quickly. For example, I was totally addicted to smoking pot. Every day, several times a day, when I found Jin Shin, and 3 months of working with the lung points, and I never smoked again. It's been 20 years. I haven't touched a drug or a drink in over 20 years because I have a way to calm my nervous system when I'm activated. I don't need these artificial substances anymore at all. So it's a very powerful system, and it works. It works. It's the one that I think is the most effective for this kind of trauma, because it will take your system. It'll go to the root where the origins of the trauma lie, and it will help bring that to memory. Like the gates will open. The gates are usually closed between the reptilian brain, the limbic system, and the cortex, right? The cortex is where our daily reality, it's where we're functioning, what we know. But there's memories in the reptilian brain and the limbic system, and those gates haven't opened in a while because our bodies do not think we're resourced enough to deal with the information consciously. So the body holds it until it understands you're resourced enough to address it. And once you start doing Jinshin, your body will know you have a resource now to deal with it and allow the memories to come up, not full on, you know, where you're going to be catharting all over the place. And it's not like that. It's very gentle and very non-cathartic and very personal, because you're your own healer. You're healing yourself. You have the power in your fingertips, because your fingertips contain electrical energy. And everybody can feel this just by rubbing their hands together and then going like this. You can feel energy field. And that is the energy of the Creator. That is the energy that can totally shift everything that's going on in your nervous system. As soon as you make a connection with these points, things are going to begin changing and unraveling and healing.
That's fantastic. I think those are probably almost four new things that people might not even be aware of that are definitely worth looking into, and or perhaps getting in touch with you to help them. So just to kind of finish it off, like, do you have anything coming up that, you know, would be worthwhile for people to know about? Is there a way for people to get in touch with you? I know you've been basically canceled from all platforms, but is there a way they can get in touch with you? And let us know those, please.
Yeah. The way to get in touch with my work is to go to birthofanewearth.com. birthofanewearth.com. There you will find my books, you will find my parenting program, you will find a variety of webinars that I've offered that you can get the MP4 of the webinars, and you will find a whole lot of material that I've written. There's a lot of information on my website, and you can also email me through there, or you can email me at janicebarcello@yahoo.com. What I'm creating right now is Birth of a New Earth Ministries. I am moving my work into the private, into a ministerial format. So those who do want to take the parenting program, it's a 20-week program, will have to become members of the ministry before they will be able to participate in my work at that level. I will still be offering things in the public, you know, to introduce people to my work, like webinars. But the deeper work is going to be for members only, for people that have checked out my work in the public and decide they want to go deeper into preparatory work for parenting, basically. And the ministry is going to be designed to create a community of people that are committed to bringing children into this world in a field of love without interference from the dark side. So hopefully we'll create families in their spaces of love in the community, and have a school at the center of the community, which offers top-notch information about, you know, studying up on the best way to prepare for conception, gestation, birth, and parenting. There's no education about this. No, they're teaching about sex, have sex, have sex, have sex, make babies haphazardly, you know, run them through the system. Let us have their blood. Let us have their organs. Let us cut up their penises. You know what I'm saying? Like that we need to create real education about the preservation of love in families. And it starts with the way we create our children.
Wow. You're so right. And you're so right. This information is definitely not out there. It's not spoken about. It's not taught. I mean, besides a few people, you were the first person that I've ever heard speak about this. I'm a 42-year-old man who thinks he's, you know, he knows a thing or two, and is maybe a bit more conscious than some other people. And, if, you know, I've never even considered this. And so it's been totally eye-opening. I was just
so you know, I didn't know when I was your age either. That's when I started to find out about birth trauma, right around your age.
Yeah, well, I'm super happy that I have, so thank you for opening up my mind. Just before we finish off, I just like to ask everybody sort of the same question. What does being ridiculously human mean to you?
Being ridiculously human means dealing with the fact that we're living in this technological nightmare, basically, that's been imposed on us, but somehow we still have memories of what life should be, of the kind of love that we should be experiencing, of the kind of joy that really can be found through family love. And being ridiculously human means not giving up on trying to create that, no matter how old we are. Love is what will bring us the most joy. And it's also what will bring our Creator the most joy, is if we're happy, the Creator's happy. If children are happy, the Creator's really happy. If we're not hurting things anymore, the Creator's really happy. If we stop hurting the animals and ourselves with all the radiation and all this stuff. Believe me when I say I could talk to you for hours about this, but love, being ridiculously human, means seeking love in spite of it all and never giving up that we're going to really attain it.
That's a great one. Thank you very much. Janice, I just wanted to thank you. You're a really brave lady, for what you've gone through, but then also to speak about the subjects that you do speak about. I know you said, you know, for you, the truth is the most important thing. However, I can imagine that you might have come up against a fair bit of kind of resistance in terms of, you know, what you speak about, because it is against kind of, you know, what's in our consciousness and in the kind of mainstream. And it takes brave people like yourself to change the thinking and to awaken other people. And I think that's a extremely strong trait to have. And it's a very powerful thing that's needed in this world, especially now, where it seems like the indoctrination is just getting worse and worse. So I just want to thank you for everything that you do, for definitely opening up my eyes and ears to a lot of things. And the work you're doing is incredibly helpful to allow people to just become more conscious. There were so many other things that we could have spoken about as well, like that, you know, like EMFs and the ultrasound issue and you know, everything else. So I mean,
and also prenatal life and also sex and
all of this
is so important. But thank you for your willingness to actually receive the information in the first place, for being willing to hear it, to process it, to get yourself to a point where you're willing to talk to me about it and to help others to see it also. That's also very, very important. And yes, I have been banned just about everywhere. My books are banned. You can only get them through me. You have to go to my website. I have finally found a printer that will print them, but they're not being sold publicly. You've got to get them through me. And if you become a member of the ministry, once I get it going, you'll get a discount on the books. So anyway,
that's
we're
amazing.
Gonna keep going. That's it. We just keep going despite what they throw at us. We're going to keep moving forward to love.
Love
to
that.
The restoration of love on this earth. Absolutely.
Great. Keeping the resistance, and make sure you fuel that with love. So Janice, thank you so much. It's been amazing. I'll put all your websites and everything in the show notes so people know. And thank you very much once again.